fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Peter Williamson, the Adam Cardinal Mida Chair of Sacred Scripture from Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and he's the editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. Peter's been with us this whole week, if you're just tuning in today, and he's with us a couple of weeks ago. And over these 2 weeks, we're breaking open some key themes in the book of Revelation, which is both inspiring, exciting, and challenging. Welcome back, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you.
Friends, before we start, I just want to remind you tonight on EWTN television at 10 p.m. is Crossing the Goal, this Sunday night at 6:30 p.m., and then Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. as well. A lot of good stuff there as well. And I want to encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, but also there's a lot of wonderful, just free stuff, teaching, articles, all kinds of things that are there for you to help build you up and strengthen you in your walk in Christ. And so, Peter, at the beginning of the week, you gave us six kind of primary themes, and one of them was, don't be afraid to die. Don't be afraid of dying. How does Revelation talk about that, and why is that so important?
Well, it's a tremendous theme in the book of Revelation, and it's expressed, first of all, in the first chapter where the risen Christ appears in absolute glory, you know, with divine glory, really, so much so that John falls down faint and is unable to face him. And then Jesus raises him up and says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus manifests himself as the one who has conquered death, and he's able to say to John, don't fear. And it's really a message to all of us. Don't be afraid of death.
What's the keys, Peter? The keys, I have the keys. What's he saying? What's that about?
It just means that he has the control. It's Hades and death are simply symbolic ways of speaking of death. Death meaning the cessation of life, Hades being the place of the dead. And it's a symbolic thing, like the book of Revelation, you know, everything is sort of said in picture language. So him holding the keys is a way of saying, I have control. You know, the keys open the doors to a house. They open the door, the gate of a city. Well, they open death, the place of death. And Jesus is saying, I got the keys and I've unlocked it. And you don't need to be bound by death or the fear of death.
Doesn't it say in the Acts of the Apostles somewhere that Jesus, we talk about Jesus descended to hell, but that he released,
the captives.
Is that the kind of thing that we're talking about here, that literally they were in hell, they were in Hades, and they couldn't get out, and he went down, and he declared his victory over death, and he released them.
Yeah, it does say in the Gospel of Matthew that when Jesus died, many of the saints came to life again.
Okay.
And were seen by people in Jerusalem. And then in 1st and 2nd Peter, there are a couple of texts that speak about Jesus going down and preaching the gospel to those who are in Hades. Now, those are actually very complicated texts.
Okay.
And I think if we go down that
rabbit trail, let's not go there.
But I will say they're tremendously well treated in Dr. Dan Keating's commentary in our series. The best treatment of those that I've seen is in that volume. So going back to Revelation, and what does it say about not fear of dying? The next important text in Revelation on this is in chapter 7, verse 13. And there's a vision of all these people worshiping God in heaven. And one of the elders addressed me saying, who are these clothed in white robe? Because it's like a numberless multitude, you know, countless number of people. And where have they come from? And it says, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So that's the foundation for not being afraid of death. Washing our robes through repentance, through conversion, through baptism, in the blood of the Lamb. In availing ourselves of the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ for our sins, that's what frees us from the power of death.
So it's like going back to Paul. Paul says, death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. Jesus' blood deals with the sin problem,
right,
which produces the death problem,
right,
which this passage is actually talking about.
Right. Okay. And it's saying, so that's the reason these people are here worshiping God, and they're in white robes, and they're holding palm branches. Palm branches were symbolic of victory. The whole book of Revelation is in picture language, symbols. So keys and palm branches and white robes, white meaning victory, meaning resurrection, meaning sharing in divine life. And then it says, they're before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. So these resurrected Christians who've suffered on earth. They've gone through the great tribulation. That refers both to the final trial at the end of history, but it actually refers to the whole period of Christian history. Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. So all of Jesus' disciples in some ways are living through the great tribulation. And when we die, we will be those who are coming out of the great tribulation and we'll be clothed with white robes if we're faithful to the Lord, you know, and avail ourselves of the blood of Christ and repent, washing our robes. And then it says, we'll worship in the temple. So in other words, we're already made priests of God by Christ's death and resurrection, but we enter into another level of our priesthood, actually being in the throne room of God, worshiping him. And then it says, they will neither hunger nor more, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. So all the trials, physical trials of this world are gone. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. The Lamb will be the shepherd. So paradox.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, it is a paradox, yeah.
But he'll shepherd, these are the dead now it's speaking about. It's speaking about those who have died and gone to be with God. What awaits us? This is really the first vision in the Bible of what it's like for people after they die before the end of history. It's not talking about the period of the final return of Christ. It's saying before the return of Christ, what happens to Christians when they die? If they're living in a right relationship with God, in a state of grace and so on, they've repented of their sins. This is what awaits us, being shepherded by the Lamb. The one who sits on the throne, God will shelter them with his presence. And it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He will guide them to springs of living water. So the fullness of life, the removal of all grief, in some ways the healing of our memories, the healing of our sins, the feeling of the sins that have been done against us, the grief of loss in this life will be wiped away by God, our Heavenly Father. Just as an earthly father wipes the tears from his child's face, God, who loves us and whose children we are, will wipe away our tears.
That's so
and
beautiful.
Heal all yeah. our sorrows.
Yeah, and I think what comes to mind, lots of things come to mind as you're speaking, but one of them is just the image from Luke chapter 24, Jesus' post-resurrection appearance with the apostles. And
yeah.
he says he opens the scripture to them and he yeah. interprets for them that he had to die on the cross and why he had to die on the cross. And then he says this, he says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And now think about this. This is Jesus' appearance after the resurrection. He's with his apostles, and he's saying, this is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
This is the absolute core.
This is the purpose of his whole life.
Absolutely. This is what it is. And we have to come to see what sin is and how sin produces death. And there's only one who has the power over death,
yeah.
and that's Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
And the church goes forward to live free of being under the condemnation of sin
Absolutely.
Through repentance and receiving forgiveness from Jesus.
Yep.
And the only way you can enter heaven, the only way you can pass from death to life is to have your sins forgiven
Absolutely.
In Christ and by his blood.
Absolutely. It's the only way. It's the only way. It's the only way, really. And, you know, I've got some wonderful Muslim neighbors, and I love them, and they're God-fearing people, and they're you know, they're pretty darn faithful, good people, but they don't have the good news about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. They hope in God's mercy, which is good, but I've got to tell them about Jesus. You know, I got to bring that message more clear and say, listen, this is the way. Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
And it's through his death on the cross that the whole world can be saved. You know, Islam has little hints of it, you know, in the ceremonies that have to do with Ramadan and you know, in the sacrifices they offer there, and they remember the death of Abraham's son, you know, or rather the offering of Abraham's son and God sparing. They have hints, but they don't know the reality. The reality, the fulfillment, the true fulfillment of Islam is Jesus, the Son of God, who offered his life for us. He's the son of Abraham who did lay down his life
yeah.
so that the world could find forgiveness.
And as the church teaches so clearly, you know, that in various religions you can get refractions or
seeds of the truth.
Yeah, seeds of the truth, but that they're in themselves not salvific
yeah.
because Christ is the only savior of the world.
Christ
Jesus
the
made it so clear. And so back to this idea of the victory over death, and Peter in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, through the strategy of the devil, it's his strategy to enslave the human race.
Yeah.
Through the fear of death.
Yeah.
It's a weapon that the devil wields over us
yeah.
because we can't see beyond death. And death is a power.
Yeah.
It's a disordered energy that's
yeah.
at work, and it affects our lives.
Yeah.
And that's a power that needs to be broken right here, right now. Not just dealing with death at the end of life, but living in freedom now as Christians. And Jesus wants to bring that power in the Spirit, his resurrected life beginning to touch us and heal our minds and heal our spirits so we can be free of the devil's domination through the fear of death.
Yeah.
Because it drives us to do a lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
It's enslaving, really.
Yeah. It's amazing how much human beings know instinctively that we're meant to live forever, but know that death is a reality. And so people do all kinds of things to prolong life. The absolute thing people are doing is trying to prolong life on this planet, but there's something much better than life on this planet, and life in the world as we know it now. But and then just the fear that affects people. I heard from a friend of mine about his mother, who just has a fear of death. She's a good woman, even a Catholic woman, but she hasn't grasped that part of the truth that we don't need to be afraid of it. Yeah. Because Jesus holds the keys, he's conquered death, and what awaits us is really good. But back to the world, you know, you were saying before we began this broadcast, just talking about how people seek ecstasy, how they seek release, whether it's drugs or whether it's sex or you know, whether it's peak experiences or getting their bucket list or something. They're somehow trying to postpone, to compensate for, to avoid the thought of death.
And you could just see things like the perpetual entertainment, never-ending noise. It reminds me of the battle, this poem by W.H. Auden called Faces. And it goes, "The faces at the bar cling to their average day. The lights must never go out, and the music must always play, lest we know where we are, lost in a haunted wood, children afraid of the dark, who've never been happy or good." There's a battle.
Wow.
I mean, it's very, very powerful. And so you see the perpetual entertainment is total distraction. You know, it's just, how do we deal with this fear of death? I distract myself, or I drug myself, or I just...
Or I get stuff, I live a comfortable, happy life.
Right, and I got to get more of it. I've never settled with that. I got to keep getting more and more. All of that.
Or as a person, I have to have.
Yeah, or I need to be at 70, I need to look like I'm 30.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be operated on. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And I'm going to do everything I can to stave off death.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we come to terms. Jesus brings us to terms with the reality of death and what produces death in us.
Yeah.
We keep trying to solve it through technology and vitamins, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Surgeries and you name it. Jesus said, there's one answer. There's one solution to the problem of death. I've got the key.
Yeah.
Come with me. I'll show you. I'll free you. There's no other way to get free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Anyway, just looked at the clock just now. Boy, time flies so much. It's so great being with you. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. Lead us in a prayer just as we close, Peter, for those who are listening who may be in the grip of the fear of death. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus, we acknowledge you as the Lord. You hold the keys of death and Hades. You truly are the Alpha and the Omega, and you destroy death's power.
Amen.
And we pray for anyone who's listening, who's under the grip of the power of sin and death, that you'd open their hearts, that they might repent and receive the freedom, the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, and confidence and trust in you and your love and the love of the Father, that they too can be brought home and have nothing to fear in the fear of death. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.